we could get right into Pendere. Pendere, as we said, the little city with the big future. And I think it's jumped into that future pretty fast. Why don't you tell us about it, Eric?
That's the sense that I get, and I think I have a unique perspective on the inside, and having seen kind of a series of kind of growth phases and maybe some slowdowns. I've been there for about 15 years. So it's pretty amazing to see some of the big things that people in the community have been talking about for a long time starting to come to fruition. I guess it's hard for me sometimes to try and put the hat on of a general member of the community, probably doesn't know where the city limits are, for example. I live that every day. But for most people, it's just they're doing their thing, going about their business, going shopping, taking the kids to school, going out to play. And Pendere is just a daily part of their existence. And so when I think about their experience, what I think is they're probably seeing a lot of construction and a lot of new building going on in Pendere, and that is one of those changes that is going to be permanent.
It's going to impact people's lives, and it is not necessarily an option that you can stop if things are zoned a certain way. So what kind of for this growth, we want, you always hear the term smart growth or growth with intention. So what kind of things are in place to minimize the impact on the people who have been there long term?
So the big thing, there are two big things. One is, how does growth impact the financial bottom line for a long-term resident? In other words, do our taxes go up or down over time? And most people will say, yeah, the taxes never go down, but there is certainly potential for them to go up substantially and cause big problems for people. The other thing is way of life, quality of life, the community's value system, and just what people want. And that's where Pendere, we've really tried to go above and beyond with our buzzword public engagement, which is really the way we listen to the community and try to, you know, growth is going to happen, and it will either happen to us or it will be something that we can guide and try to make our community better over time.
So when you're talking about guidelines, yeah, what's in place now and what might need to be in place to meet that goal of smart growth and sensible?
So one of the things that you might see is housing, some new housing going up in Pendere. And a lot of people overlooked Pendere for a long time as a place to live. It was kind of the extra place to go shopping, and you know,
kind of far away from Sandpoint.
Right. It's its own little world, and there is a great little village there. That's really where my heart and soul is. I mean, that's where City Hall is, and it's a really nice plan that was laid out in, you know, 1904. And that is the residential kind of core of the community, is often overlooked by, you know, a lot of folks going by. So what you'll see currently going on is a couple of big things. And these are things we've been talking about for a long time. One is the quality of life. Well, people who lived in that village have known that you can go across the railroad tracks and get to the lake and go swimming, right? They've known that for a long time. But what people didn't always know is that where the old smelter site was, there was contamination issues.
Black Rock.
Black Rock itself is, you know, the slag pile where the smelter took the smelted ore and just dumped it over the edge of the lake shore.
Well, they didn't know anything back then, right. Did they?
That was the icon. I mean, that's where people went swimming for 100 years. And people generally like that way of life. The problem is trespassing across the railroad tracks is dangerous. We as a city can't encourage it. And then the soils where the ore pile was up behind there, it's overgrown with vegetation, so you don't know where the contaminated dirt is. And so we're working very hard with partners with Idaho DEQ and the EPA. The city of Ponderay was awarded a grant for $840,000 to do assessment and cleanup and planning around the smelter site.
Is that enough money to do that? Possible?
With the inflation we've had in the last few years, that is not enough. But the good news is the city of Ponderay has good friends with our agency partners, DEQ, will be willing to help in the sense of keeping the waterways clean in the community. They should be able to find some funding sources. And the residents of Ponderay passed the penny tax, or mm-hmm. the 1% sales tax.
And that is for?
Right, for resort communities. And that basically goes to two projects. One we call the Front Yard Project because it bundles up a couple of these things, but it is all about lake access. And that means giving people access to the lakeshore. It means public access mm-hmm. under the railroad tracks, so they don't have to trespass across the railroad tracks.
So it will be an underpass.
And it will be an underpass.
Okay.
And for cleaning up the contaminated area. So all that basically will take what people have known for a long time and make it permanent, make it safe, make it viable.
And this is a big project, and I didn't really ever hear about this, but what is the timeline for getting this open to the public?
So we basically are working with environmental contractors right now to create a cleanup plan, and we could see some dirt moving as soon as next fall when the water goes back down. And we have two more years on the grant. One of the best accomplishments so far with our local option tax, we have purchased all of the properties along the shoreline that were remaining. So we have now 2 miles of public shoreline. And that
all
was
the way to the Blue Gate?
All the way beyond the gate. The problem is one of those properties is still contaminated. So we can't encourage people to go mm-hmm. tromping around on there. But the good news is with the city owning that property, it unlocked those grant dollars. So basically, we are taking those local sales tax dollars and leveraging them with $800,000 grant from the EPA and a $1.8 million grant from Federal Transportation. And that's called our build grant. And we can talk mm-hmm. about that a little bit later.
Sure.
But
well, what I'm hearing you say is Ponderay will be truly a lakefront community.
Yes.
At that point in
yes.
time.
Yes. So the way I think about it is people can drive Highway 200, which is kind of the face of Ponderay, and really have no idea that we're a community on the lake, and certainly not that there are 2 miles of lakeshore in the city of Ponderay.
So that's very exciting news. How do you communicate this unfolding of these kind of projects and the future to the citizens of Ponderay? Do you have...
So one of the things... The city, our best outreach, and this developed over time as a way to get people out of the woodwork. But Pondere Neighbor Day is a great event where, you know, I think we've been on the radio show promoting it a time or two.
Sure.
But we basically bring people to us and are able to really communicate and ask questions and do listening. And that's been one of the ways where we can have blown up maps and these are the plans and what we hope to do and let people know and ask questions at the same time.
A lot of people come out for Pondere Neighbor Day?
We do, and we get a lot of people. We get a lot of the Pondere residents, families that maybe don't have the time to come out to city council meetings and when we have, you know, typical evening public outreach events. Mm-hmm. They might not necessarily be able to make that happen, but Pondere Neighbor Day, it's just really fun. It's free. It's mm-hmm. been really successful for us to get to the people mm-hmm. and find out what they want to see Pondere sure. be when it grows up. So that's been really fun. One of the things, we're a small city, we don't necessarily do a lot of self-promotion, you know. We do the radio show once in a while, and we have Facebook, and people seem to follow what's going on through Facebook and the city website. But we could.
And what is that? Might as well give a shout out. If you're interested in knowing more and staying in touch with Pondere and what's going on, and there's a lot going on, and it's going to continue to grow and develop, what is that Facebook site? And you can go like it. You'll get information.
Yeah. Facebook, go to City of Pondere. It's pretty simple, yeah. And then on our website, you can check out the Front Yard Project. We're going to build a page that is dedicated to the cleanup when people start seeing things happening, and that will put all the updates and what's going on, what's coming up next.
The good parts of social media.
Yes.
Stay informed.
Stay informed and bring people together. So, yeah.
So when I think of Pondere, it's really good to hear that this little city with a big future, as you call it, is growing and is going to be integral in the connectivity with Sandpoint. I know that Bay Trail eventually will meet up with your 2 miles of lakefront and then be able to go underneath and come out and access the things north of our city.
Yeah.
All kinds of things are going on out there.
And we have worked with the Friends of the Pondere Bay Trail and their master plan to basically make sure that the Pondere Bay Trail, when it goes under the railroad tracks, will continue on into Kootenai and tie into a circulation plan for the City of Pondere. We call it the Green Belts and Pathways Plan, and it really ties a number of things together, including, if you imagine, you know, being able to go for a walk along the lakeshore and then cut through Pondere by Bonner Mall and then walk down Sand Creek. This is a loop, and just one example of a robust circulation plan that will have kind of our town center nature and give people all those different elements.
Well, having that kind of safe access to the north part of our community through those, as you say, the green belt way, makes it a whole lot more fun because of that highway there. I'm not going to ride my bike on the highway kind of thing.
Right.
But now the plan is to make it safe, accessible, and really connect it very clearly.
Yeah, and so I guess another thing that ties into this is I mentioned the $1.8 million build grant, and that's to create a shovel-ready project. So it's underpass design of the railroad. It also includes preliminary design of Highway 200. And what we're hoping is that as a small town, if we can bring grant funds to the community, that we will be able to make improvements along Highway 200, so that some of what you see and feel is, you know, I would not be comfortable letting a 10-year-old ride a bike along Highway 200 right now.
Right.
Just plain
exactly.
And if by taking that to a conceptual level of design and hopefully bringing some more funding to the table, it seems like what we're doing in Pend'Oreille is consistent with a couple of funding streams at the federal level. There's another possibility. What was the Build Grant is now called the Raise Grant Program. Before that, it was called the Tiger Grant Program, but different administrations rebrand it. But it tends to fund directly to local communities and serve their needs. And this administration is really interested in creating connections across transportation systems. And that is right what we're talking about, is being able to get under the railroad tracks so that the railroad is not a barrier keeping the residents of Pend'Oreille from the lake.
I mean, we are a railroad town, and it goes everywhere, and it can be a barrier. So you are looking at this underpass, I guess you call it, to break that barrier from, you know, accessibility and stuff like that. That's really a lot of forethought.
Yeah, I mean, it's an exciting project. I think we're really honored to be, you know, one of, you know, a few planning projects across the country. And hopefully with them funding the design, that it is likely that they will be willing to have some funds for construction as well. I guess when you talk about growth in general, and you mentioned smart growth, and, you know, there's a lot of buzzwords out there, and the reality is anything too much too fast seems to be a problem for people who have lived there. And one of the things that you'll see happening in Pend'Oreille, and you might not know the buzzword for it, but infill development is where we have development in locations where there is existing investment in infrastructure, because infrastructure is very expensive. And so when you have things like water pipes, sewer pipes, paved roads, and we need upgrades in time. And when the Sandpoint water system upgraded not so long ago to the lake water treatment plant, you know, there's a lot of basically investment there that we want to see some return on to help keep those systems, you know, above the red line and keep them in the black over time, and not, you know, basically continue to build ourselves into
a corner.
Yeah,
right. So what I'm hearing you saying is, when you look at, say, someone comes to you for a development project and wants to go forward, I'm just thinking of the large apartment complexes that are going in behind Walmart. What you're saying is the infrastructure was already there, so that one made a lot of sense. The roads are there, the water, the sewer, everything else.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are interesting about that particular project. One is Schweitzer was lauded as a leader in the industry in terms of resort towns to consider housing for Schweitzer employees. Mm-hmm. And that's that project, you know, a lot of neat things about Pend'Oreille, but one of them is kind of our location, basically looking up at Schweitzer, at the base of Schweitzer.
Beautiful.
And the other thing to consider is transportation systems there. You know, we've got paved roads, a spot bus stop, so people can hop on the bus and go right up to Schweitzer for work.
Yeah.
One of Schweitzer's challenges is always parking, and, you know, how do we deal with car storage? This hopefully can help with that. And anytime you have, you know, a few thousand square feet of retail and employees, it's really nice to have share of those employees be able to, you know, walk to work, you know, to be able to interact with their neighbors and basically So what our challenges are when you look at that and you say, okay, where the what's next or what's this mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are implications for the school district. You know, you think about the elementary schools in the area.
That
you know,
little school in Kootenai,
right? And you think about, okay, how do we create a sense of place, a sense of neighborhood? And that's something that hopefully you will see in time. Now, that project south of Walmart is big enough that it is largely creating its own kind of identity in terms of there's some park spaces built into it.
That's what I was going to ask you about, because just having a house or an apartment does not make you feel it's a home. A home includes, such as you mentioned, you know, ability to get there, parks, green space, things that bring people together.
Yeah, and so that's something to be watching for, and it's something that for us is really kind of a creative puzzle exercise.
There's a lot to talk about. I'm really getting a keen sense that Pend'Oreille is a pretty much exciting place to be right now. I have a lot more questions, but I want to remind our listeners, thanks for tuning in. First of all, this is 88.5 KRFY, and I'm Susie Prez, and this is The Morning Show, and I'm talking with Eric Brubaker. He's the City of Pend'Oreille Parks and Community Development Director. And as we know, Pend'Oreille is the little city with a big future, and we're talking about that future today and how smart growth, we'll say, because we know growth is happening everywhere. It's happening in Sandpoint, Sagal, anywhere you look, people are moving north. And it sounds to me, Eric, like you have a very keen way of monitoring and working with that growth as it happens. And it's exciting to hear about. I love hearing about the, what did you call it, the front yard project, and that Pend'Oreille has the Pend'Oreille Neighbor Day.
Neighbor Day.
I was thinking you could have that twice a year.
You know,
you could have a winter carnival.
People love it. And I think it's something that, whether it's the city hosting an event or other people, you know, making the most out of that space. Ting supported us this past year in a big way. We've got a new bandstand out there. Kaylee Miller, our planning director, is just amazing and pulling Neighbor Day together and some of these special projects that the city has going on. And it's a lot of fun down there at Neighbor Day, and I think that venue could be used now, especially someday when we have access to the lake. That'll be a whole nother level.
That will be very different.
But
yeah.
The Hoot Owl area is really the closest thing we have to kind of a downtown core in Pend'Oreille at this time.
Where
and hopefully that's something we will grow into.
Right. Where is City Hall, by the way? I mean,
so
I'm sorry
City
to
Hall
say,
is
I don't
off
know.
Of 4th Street. It's behind the Outdoors Inn. You've seen what used to be the S&W Motel was remodeled a couple of years ago, and it's a really nice little
boutique hotel.
Yeah. I see reviews, you know, from people traveling all over the country, like, oh yeah,
they
found this little
cool,
place in
huh?
Pend'Oreille. Yeah. So it's off of 4th Street down in there. In the residential neighborhood, that's where Northside Fire has their fire station, and City Hall is there. If you take a right on Cedar, you'll go down towards the railroad tracks, and there is one historic brick building left from the original kind of company town when the smelter was, you know, basically promising a bright future for Pend'Oreille. And then we kind of, it was kind of quiet there in Pend'Oreille for a while, but not so much anymore. So I mentioned the front yard project and lake access. That's one of our two big projects. The other one is the Field of Dreams. And a lot of people are familiar with the Field of Dreams. And that is going to also start construction in this coming year. So all these projects, the penny tax was a pay-as-you-go project, in that, you know, we have funds as it comes in. And so the first couple of things we did was property purchases, which was, you know, a big win for the community.
So you were able to purchase that Field of Dreams. And that's so, off to the east off 95.
Yep.
Just past something.
Yeah, just past the Pondere Garden Center.
Right.
Off of 95. The other way to get there will be off of McNerney Road, off of Kootenai Cutoff, like at the animal shelter. Or
sure.
Yeah. What's the animal shelter's new name?
You would Better know. Animal Alliance Together. Better together,
together Animal Alliance.
Yeah.
Apologies to Mandy.
BTAA.
But I...
and which is also a really cool thing with the dog park there.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of little things. And that's something that I really believe in, is this incrementalism. It's go take small bites. And, you know, you saw that with our park behind the animal shelter, that we kind of picked away at it and kind of created a little sense of place there. And that is hopefully a big piece of creating a sense of neighborhood and creating a neighborhood center. We've got a ton of residents off of Larkspur on the south side of Kootenai Cutoff Road. And we've got some new residential development coming up to the north around there.
And let me just mention, you're going to have a little private elementary school in Kootenai eventually.
In Kootenai, next door. Right?
The Sandpoint Waldorf School is going to
that.
Eventually. They bought some acreage, and it's always been a dream. I was part of the beginning of the Waldorf School in 1992, if you can believe that.
Wow.
30-some years ago, that school has made it. And now we always wanted a rural school, you know, kind of a little farm school.
Like with a farm. And
it's going to happen. Congratulations
exciting.
To the Waldorf School.
Well, what I hope is that we can create some connections to get people across from that area to the Field of Dreams, maybe, and again, help the community grow together over time. So that's exciting to
hear.
It
is very exciting. I'm getting that sense from you, obviously. You need to have that excitement, but I think the reality is there's a lot of land out there. And when Sandpoint has limited land, the Sandpoint city proper, but Pondere is not that far away anymore, and you're making inroads to make that even closer.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it, that we're basically keeping a tight-knit community, but bringing it together in a way, making it closer.
Shared vision, too, with the Pondere Bay Trail connecting to your new lakefront community thing.
Yeah, and, you know, in that lakefront, in a lot of ways, to me, it's kind of a gift to the next generation of city leaders in our community. I think when we listen to the community, what they want is pretty simple. You know,
what is it? Do you think they want?
It's not fancy. It's not Disneyland. It's a natural shoreline that is there. So there's a sense of, you know, this is our go-to spot. This is where, you know, our
kids will remember it and say to their kids, I grew up on a lake.
Yeah.
Instead of a railroad track or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
The lake is there, and cleaning it up is not an option to not do it. You have to do it, and that sounds like it's in process and it's going to happen.
The combination of that amazing EPA grant, the support from DEQ, and the local sales tax, we will be able to get it basically cleaned up to the level of being a blank slate and a safe place for the community to come. And that's exciting.
That is very exciting. There's a few other things. You mentioned the 1% sales tax funding and where that goes. We talked about the Pondere Bay Trail and the new park development, Field of Dreams. You sent me a list, regional recreation facility update.
So yeah, that's basically the field of dreams,
and
and the key is we've got a nice master plan for how we could utilize that into the future. Phase one, that is the funded piece of this, will be 4 multi-purpose recreation fields that will be playable artificial turf, like similar to Memorial, probably a little different type. But when we talk to user groups, one of the things that comes up over and over is the ability to be able to get kids out to play and in the shoulder season, like March, April, May. I coached soccer, and there were years when we had a rainy spring, and not only were we having trouble getting out on the fields in early May, but we're destroying the fields as we do it and making a muddy mess. And so this is pretty exciting.
What does that look like? Are you talking about an indoor facility?
So this will be, it'll be outdoor, but with the turf, okay. It stands up to the weather in a completely different way. So snow will likely melt off of it sooner. We did one of the inspirations is a field trip to Real Life Ministries down in Post Falls where they have one. And we were out there in sunny January day. It was cold, kind of like what we have coming up in Saturday, Sunday. We're going to have, cold but clear sunny days. And the surface, it's not like hard frozen ground. It's playable.
Really?
And
so what makes it that way? What's it made out of?
So it's a rubber, crumb rubber product, and it's well drained. So it's built from the bottom up, and there are drains and porous rock, and then you have the turf product.
It sounds like you're going to have both out there at Field of Dreams.
So Field of Dreams will, at this time, phase one will be artificial turf.
Okay.
It will be 4 fields. Fingers crossed, because the prices have gone through the roof, but we're making it happen. And it will be a facility that is big enough to have, have tournaments, support the local soccer tournament, in a big way. We can have basically room for all different sports groups to practice on, and have some serious events. Someday, yes, we hope to get ice going out there. We hope to get a field house, perhaps, an indoor facility. Mm-hmm. Someday.
Someday.
But phase one, it will be pretty basic, but it will be kind of a dream come true if you're
advocate
of kids' sports. Yeah.
Well, pretty much that's what I always think of this town as. When my son was little, we lived in Iowa, and I thought I want him to grow up in Sandpoint because it's so sport-oriented. And, yeah, he played basketball on all the courts and soccer in all the fields. So what I see is at Field of Dreams, you have adequate parking on both ends of the entrances and this more usable, as you called it, shoulder season, where it's more usable more of the year.
Yeah, and I guess what caught your attention there, a regional mm-hmm. type facility, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we're a destination, One, it's not just for Pendere folks, but it's for the whole community, right?
And it's something that
we're trying to work in cooperation with, folks in Sandpoint, Sagal, Dover, Kootenai, everybody, and not duplicate efforts and basically...
Yeah.
Contribute. What's our piece of this?
Well, we have this huge piece of property,
right.
50 acres.
Right.
Whoa, that's the beauty. I mean, one of the beauties of Pendere is, like I said before, Sandpoint has limited. It's just the way it is. But Pendere and Kootenai area has this expansive amount of land.
Right.
And using that wisely, I think also when we're talking about we're talking about the physical aspects of Pendere mostly here, But we also need to think about the impact of all these new people and the infrastructure and things like that. You need revenue. So with growth, do you anticipate, especially with large, commercial growth, businesses, things like that, and do you anticipate increased revenue, which you will need?
So, yes, I do. You know, the bread and butter, of course, for local governments is property tax. And that is something that we can basically do a calculation with every new construction project that goes in and say, you know, is this helping or mm-hmm. hurting? Is mm-hmm. this raising other people's taxes or lowering mm-hmm. them? Is this so? And a lot of cities are starting to do a much better job of that, is looking at the dollars and cents, the bottom line.
A win-win for both.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think Ponderay is ahead of the curve on that. It's been a fun thing to be a part of. But, you know, when we look at the taxable value, it's got to be normalized to the amount of land used, because that's what our infrastructure is based on. It's infrastructure acres, right?
Mm-hmm.
And infrastructure acres are expensive.
I was thinking the word expensive. So a lot of times you think that big apartment complex south of Walmart is they're renters. They don't pay property taxes, but the owners of the development do.
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. and it's fairly, you know, a well-conceived project like that. You'll see a lot of green space and you'll say, oh, look, they've, you know, maybe they haven't squeezed mm-hmm. every inch of this property. But what you'll realize, if you basically do the math on it, you'll see that they've used some of the property very efficiently and as a result left some viable green spaces. And that's what, you know, whether it's one project like that or the way you grow a city with, you know, defined centers around mm-hmm. a park and, you know, defined edges, that is just good policy.
Right. So there's a picture, but what's on the wish list? I mean, you've mentioned finishing projects and maybe some new ones, but
Is this for me or is this for the city?
I'll leave that
you
up
know,
to you.
Because I've got almost everything that I've been, you
envisioned.
Know, working mm-hmm. towards has been coming to fruition. A lot of that has been, yes, the Ponderay Bay Trail and the Lakeshore project and the things that we've already talked about. I think one of the things that would be really great looking forward is some civic buildings, like maybe, you know, new fire station, mm-hmm. police station, you know, something that really says, that gives us a sense of identity
and
something that
thing.
The community mm-hmm. can all be proud of, you know, because the park stuff is nice, and that's the way a lot of people look at it. But I think not to forget that as a town, mm-hmm. you know, the town building is really important.
Well, I always think of, like, downtown Sandpoint, there's gathering places for people, and mm-hmm. you get a sense of, oh, I'm going to go see my friends there at that coffee shop, or go get my croissant down the street from one of KRFY's underwriters, the Bluebird Bakery, which I can say on air. So is there a sense that Ponderay could eventually have a place where you could gather, where there's, like, I don't know exactly what that looks like. Maybe it starts with City Hall, fire station, police station, and a couple little restaurants that could, you know, be quaint and cute like Ponderay wants to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you hear me talk about, you know, that area behind the Hoot Owl around the Harbison Field, certainly that connection, future connection to the lakeshore will hopefully help create a potential space there. I believe the area around, you know, the animal shelter, I call it Dog Town, because there's, you know, we got our wonderful little dog park there, and And that's the kind of thing that'll get people out, you know, year round. And you can see, you can start to build those places with food trucks. I was next to the Bonner Mall Cinemas the other day at the little food truck court, and just like, this is just lovely, you know?
Okay.
And there are ways that cities around the country are seeding those things and allowing them. I think we would like to, you know, have a farmer's market someday.
I think that would really be a great thing.
And so if all goes well, that is definitely something I would like to see happen in Ponderay. Like,
maybe some of it, as you said, getting those food trucks over near the cinema, they used to be somewhere else. That was spontaneous. And as a small community grows and people have ideas, it becomes a natural kind of organic way of forming that feeling. I know that KRFY, we had our antenna, and I'll just say our antenna and our transmitters out on the tower behind Walmart that had to come down because of growth in Ponderay. But luckily, we were able to put our antenna and transmitter at the public Lake Ponderay School District tower that is still in Ponderay. So our legal ident is, this is 88.5 KRFY Ponderay. And we say that every hour at the top of the hour. That's our legal requirement with the FCC. So it was really nice that we found that spot. A shout out again to the Lake Ponderay School District for opening that up to us. Which made all the difference in the world. We were on low power for 4 months. We are now on full power again. Even better transmission now because it's just us on the tower, not Blue Sky anymore.
Wow, that's exciting.
I know. So we're part of Ponderay, KRFY.
Right. It's our digital center.
Yep, you have a radio station broadcasting from there. Anyways, anything else you want to say about Ponderay? Invite people out to something?
Wish list.
Or wish list.
Well,
I
mean, we are always looking for vendors for Neighbor Day. It's going to come up before you know it in September.
What is the date? It's September. Well, sometime in September.
Early September.
We'll have you on in August. How's that?
You know, one of the things that I'm excited about, and it's part of our Green Belts and Pathways plan, is the Sand Creek Corridor, because the threat of Sand Creek is the boundary between Sandpoint and Ponderay. And I think about it kind of like Waterton Glacier International Peace Park as a way to broker peace between adjoining cities. And it is such a gem. If a person goes to Subway, for example, in Ponderay, and looks out over the Sand Creek area, it's just amazing.
Somebody's texting you to tell you to say, mention something. But
they must be listening to the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yay, we've got a listener.
Oh, we've got a lot of listeners, Eric.
So Ponderay Neighbor Day is September 9th.
Good job.
Thank you, Kaylee.
Kaylee, thank you. And, yeah, we'll have you on in August to talk about that and encourage people to not only come out, but to become involved in it. When you were mentioning the corridor of Sand Creek, and here it is, here's the demarcation. I don't know if you can go underneath 200, like in a kayak or something. Is there a way Sand Creek?
Yes, you can.
We could have like a meeting of the kayaks or something.
Right.
There's some kind of a kayak, I don't know, whatever, paddle.
Yeah.
So that's that. Thank you so much, Eric. Anything else you want to say before we sign off here and play a song or two?
Only if you have any nagging questions that you need to ask. So.
Nope, I think we covered everything. It's really fun to have you in. You are passionate about the work you do in Ponderay, and that makes a difference. And you've been holding this picture and this vision, and I love the fact that things that come slowly are always really solidly put together. So thanks for the work you're doing over there at Ponderay.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Folks, this is 88.5 KRFY, and I've been talking with Eric Brubaker. He's the City of Ponderay Parks and Community Development Director. And if you did not get to hear this whole interview, which lasted quite a while, thanks for coming in early, Eric.
Yeah.
Saved the day for me. You can go to krfy.org, and later in the day, this interview will be part of our podcast system. You can go and listen to it at your leisure. And we're going to hear it. I'm going to just tell you one more time that on Friday night, presented by KRFY Radio, and there is a free film event. It's at the Panada. Doors open at 6:30. The film starts at 7 in conjunction with the Human Rights, Bonner County Human Rights Task Force, due to a grant that we are given. We are presenting together a free movie called Summer of Soul. That is the, it's going to be good, folks. This is great music, is what I've heard. And so join us. Come out and celebrate Friday night at the Panada. It's a free movie. That would be fun. There's a lot else going on. You can go to Sandpoint Online, who provides our community calendar for us. Thank you, Sandpoint Online, for that. Lots of music going on all over town. I'm just looking down the list. But you can go there and find out for yourself. And thanks for listening. We're going to go out with some music. The first one is Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Our House. And then we're going to hear Patti LaBella, Lady Marmalade, by request. And a few other, that will take us right up to the top of the hour. Folks, have a beautiful day. Thanks for listening. This is The Morning Show. Tomorrow, tune in and hear Jim Healy host The Morning Show for Thursday. Thanks. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
I'll light the fire. Place the flowers in the vase that you bought today.